Okay, so quick review of what we spoke about last week. Last week we really started to develop the problem in Shitas HaRambam, and tonight we'll hopefully attempt to resolve it. So, again, let's just do a quick recap. Let's start at the top of page 3, where we saw four Gemaras, or really three Gemaras, that listed four issues that hinge on whether Ksuba is Midah Oraisa or Midah Rabbana. So the first one is which currency. They get married in place X and they divorce in place Y. Which currency do they use? If Ksuba is Midah Oraisa, it's the currency of the place where they got married, as would be expected. If Ksuba is Midah Rabbanan, they say the Rabbanan say she wasn't really entitled to anything in the first place, so we want to make sure that she has some protection, but we're going to give the Baal a break as well. And the Rabbanan say use the lesser currency. What did the Rambam paskin? The Rambam said use the lesser currency, which would imply what? Ksuba is Midah Rabbanan. Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. A guy comes forward after the wedding night and says she was not a virgin as she claimed. We know that he is Ne'eman Le'osra Alav because of Shavi Anav Shekhtiva Yisura. He's believed to create a prohibition in the marriage. Is he also believed to take away her Ksuba? So if Ksuba is Midah Oraisa, the Gemara and Ksuba told us that he is not believed. If Ksuba is Midah Rabbanan, he is believed because of Chazaka Inel and Toreha Pasudu Mafsida. The Rabbanan assumed that he's not going to make this whole party in order to just divorce her the next day. And once again, the Rambam paskins what? That the Baal is believed to take away her Ksuba. Again, consistently Ksuba Midah Rabbanan. Number 3, from what does she collect? The Idis, the Beinonis, or the Ziboris? We said this is not going to impact the amount, but let's say she's collecting $200. Is she collecting $200 worth of his finest produce, or his middle produce, or his worst produce? As a general rule, any Chiyuvim Derabbanan, any rabbinic obligations come from Ziboris, are collected from the lesser produce because they are rabbinic in nature. To Oraisa Chiyuvim, depending on which chiyuv we're talking about, sometimes come from the best, sometimes come from the middle. It depends if we're dealing with Nezek. Yeah.
First we discuss currency. Now all of a sudden we're discussing paying her in produce.
Right.
I thought it comes from the land.
$200 worth of produce.
Okay.
Ksuba? Right. No, you're right. Well, that's a machloka. Yeah. Well, it's a little more complicated than that. It's a machloka as to whether Ksuba is Nigves Min HaMetaltelin. We happen to paskin Ksuba is not Nigves Min HaMetaltelin. That's the position of her mayor that it is. But Bizman Azeh, we hold that it is collected from Metaltelin.
Because then it has to be Durabana.
What?
Because if it can chain, you know, there has to be a standard rule.
No. Why Ksuba is Nigves Min HaMetaltelin is a big machloka Sushonim. Why nowadays do we allow collection of Ksuba from Metaltelin? That's a discussion in the Rishonim, why. They have different answers. They have different answers to that question. But, yeah, so you're right. Let's say the field. Which field is she going to take?
And nobody's so, talking about the money. That if it's Doraisa, it should be Shkolim. I mean...
I told you. Tosos talk about that. We'll get there. Slow down.
We talked about Shkolim.
Well, no. We were talking about Shkolim just as we were using that as an example. Because we were talking about Eretz Yisrael and Kaput Kaya. So whatever the currency of Eretz Yisrael is versus whatever they're using Kaput Kaya is Latis or something like that. But I told you, Tosis will address that topic. Tosis on Ksuba Safiyat Amar Aleph raised the question.
Back to my question, if we're talking about a currency.
Yeah.
Okay, why is she obligated to have the trouble of taking a produce from the field and then she has to sell it to everybody?
All rabbinic obligations are collected from Ziboris. That's just the way they're collected. I mean, I guess that's what they used to pay. So if she's going to, there's no obligation for her to collect from. Well, I should take a step back. Like Morty said, there's a general principle that Ksuba is collected from land, not from movable property. I don't know if there's a good legal term for that. What we would call metaltelin in halacha, chattel. Morty's right. We're really talking about which piece of land she gets. One that grows the best produce or one that grows lesser produce. And the halacha is, in general, Arthur, when you're dealing with a rabbinic obligation, that's what you would collect from. A lot of times, I guess that's what they had. That's what they paid with. That's what they used as a means of exchange. So she's entitled to $200, but very often it would be paid in produce or in land or something like that.
There's a distinct difference between produce and land.
In terms of whether or not she has to go and sell it. Correct. 100%.
Produce
deteriorates. 100%. But this is not only a question of Ksuba. This is a question of like all chovos, all obligations that are addressed in the Gemara very often are referred to in these terms. What produce do you collect from? Because very often, again, current that we think of everything as liquid in terms of currency nowadays. Like, they didn't necessarily have the same kind of currency and the abundance of currency that we do. They had, and it was more of an agrarian society, and they used produce. So all chovah, all obligations that you discuss in the Talmud, one person steals from another, one person damages another. They're all discussed, the payment is always discussed in terms of these categories of produce or categories of land. That's just what they dealt in.
If you're taking a woman's perspective,
yeah. Why?
Is she getting an equitable distribution? Is it fair?
Equitable. Explain to the rabbi in the room what equitable distribution.
Is the husband giving her less?
No. He has to give her $200 worth, but he's paying it in this, in produce or land, whatever he may be paying.
Does she have a choice? I mean, land could be worth more than produce. Usually.
No. It's going to be equivalent value. Whatever equivalent value.
Yeah, but you could sell land, give her land that's not sellable, you know.
And produce that can deteriorate. Gets used.
Right. Okay. I mean, you'd have to make monetary assessments. This would obviously all be part of the assessment, right? What is it really worth? But let's assume that we can create a system where, in a vacuum, you can assess $200 worth of currency, $200 worth of land, $200 worth of produce, $200 worth of stock options, whatever the case may be. Stock options in halacha is a major question. Yeah. Let's leave out stock options. But let's say you can create an equivalency. And that's what we do, and that's,
I mean,
the question is just what she takes money from.
So it was definitely, everybody knew how to deal with it. We don't know because we deal with money.
Right. So the Rambam says, once again, that she collects from the Ziboris. Consistently, he holds that Ksuba is Midrabanan. And as we said, it's not really surprising, because the Rambam himself actually explicates that Ksuba is Midrabanan. If you look in Source 7 very quickly, at the very beginning, Chachamim him shetiknu ikar Ksuba le'isha, was the Chachamim who made this takana. Again, at the very end of Source 8, Chachamim him shetiknu ksuba le'isha, etc. You see that again in Source 9. The Rambam, in a number of places, explicates that ksuba is midrabban. However, there was a fourth issue that the Gemara says hinges on ksuba midarais or ksuba midrabbanon, where the Rambam deviated from the Gemara's setup. And that is the question, can you detract from to make ksuba? It's a poor man and poor woman decide that they want to get married. He says, look, I want to marry you, but I can't obligate myself to pay you $200 if we get divorced because I just don't have the money. And she says, all right, fine. So, yeah, it's fine. We'll just get married and we'll make the ksuba $100. Can they make that arrangement? Can they make that mutual arrangement before they get married, or can they not? So the Gemara said that if ksuba is de'oraisa, the answer is no. If ksuba is midrabbanan, the answer is yes. Now, what would we expect the Rambam? Even if they mutually agree on it. Rabbi Meir said that if they do that, it's kibbo'el be'ilasnos. Right?
Come on.
Yeah. It doesn't even say kin in the Gemara. Behavila be'iloso be'ilas nos. It's like znos. It's as if they're not even married. And what would we expect the Rambam to say? Can you detract or can you not? We would expect the Rambam to say that it's yes, because he says many times it's midrabanan. But what does the Rambam say in Source 10?
It is.
Hisna ima lifchos me'ikar ksuba. He made this condition with her to detract from that original 200, which we call the Ikar Ksuba. Ikar Ksuba is in contrast to Tosefes Ksuba. We spoke about that. There's this core 200 that she's entitled to, and then you can add on more. And in our, and we have the Minug too, indeed, add on more. But his Na'ima, Lifkos Me Ikar Ksuba, he made this condition to detract from the Ma'os of the Ksuba, Osha Kazav La Masayim. He's not trying to fool her. He wrote Masayim or 100, right? He wrote whatever she's entitled to. And she says, oh, I accepted, I already received 100. She didn't really do that, but that's their way of saying, it's fine, I'm not going to receive the full amount. That was the case in the Gemara. He gives her a ksuba of 200. She writes him a shtar saying, oh, it's as if I already accepted 100 or half of the designated amount. What does the Rambam say? Tina'o batel shekol hapoches lebesula mi masayim ul almana meimane harezu be'ilas nos. The Rambam says you cannot make that condition because one who does so, it's as if it's be'ilas nos. Now, we noted a number of problems with this Rambam. The first is that the Gemara clearly says that's only true if ksuba is midoraisa, and the Rambam in many places adopts the position that ksuba is midrabanan. Secondly, we noted that if you turn back to source number 4,
let me ask you a question.
Give me one second, Morty. Second paragraph in source number 4. Rabbi Meir Omar Kolapokes v'chulei, Kolapokes afilu b'tana'a, Alma kasavar tana'o batel v'isla. He says that the tana'a doesn't work. She's entitled to the money. V'kivan de'omar la leis leich, elamane lo samchadaita v'havila b'ilas v'ilas nos. He says, the tana'a is batel, and since the tana'a is batel, it is b'ilas nos. That's what Rabbi Meir says. Turn back to the Rambam. Give me one second. Turn back to the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? Again, in source 10, that last line in source 10. Tana'o, second word. Tana'o batel. The Rambam says, why is the Tanai batel? Because it's be'ilas nos. The Gemara said, the Tanai is batel, therefore it's be'ilas nos. Namely, what comes first if we're setting up a causal relationship? The Tanai is batel, therefore be'ilas nos. The Rambam says it's be'ilas nos, therefore the Tanai is batel. In other words, he reverses the causality or the causal relationship that's set up in the Gemara between the two factors. The Gemara says the Tanai is batel, it doesn't work, it doesn't work to take less, to give her less money, therefore it's nus. The Rambam says it's nus, therefore the Tanai is batel. The Rambam doesn't only seem to contradict himself, he seems to reverse, in a sense, he seems to flip what the Gemara says on its head, entirely. Okay, yeah, Morty, sorry.
She's allowed, the dates, 2 seconds after they get married, she's allowed to sell her ksuba, isn't she?
She can sell her ksuba, but in the event that that occurs, he still needs to pay a ksuba. In other words, as we will see in a moment, the point of the ksuba in many ways is to make sure that he is going to think twice and three times and four times before getting a divorce. In other words, it ensures a certain security to the marriage. Mm-hmm. So even if she sells her ksuba to somebody else, he still has to dish out...
Why does she want to do this?
She wants cash. She likes gambling and she wants to go to Vegas. Whatever it is. So she says, look, obviously she's not going to be able to sell it for the full 200. Nobody would do that. But she goes to somebody and says, look, I'll sell you my ksuba for 180. It's an investment. You'll make 20 on whenever the ksuba comes around. And that will be it. Now, there is a certain gamble, like Morty's saying, if she just passes away before he does, she gets a little too crazy in her weekend in Vegas and whatever, she gets into trouble, then there's no ksuba whatsoever. So...
Or he never divorces.
No, but if he dies before she does, she's entitled to a ksuba.
Yeah, if he does divorce, who does he pay?
Whoever she sold it to. But as we saw, Morty, if she's mocheles the ksuba, he has to write her a new one. If she just says, "Hey, don't worry about it; it's cool," he has to write her. He has to write her a new ksuba.
That she can sell it to somebody else.
Because again, as long as he has to dish it out from his pocket, he's going to think twice and three times and four times before just, saying, forget this, I'm done with this marriage.
But she still keeps the ksuba? Because we said that if she don't have a ksuba,
what situation are you talking about?
No. If she sells it, as long as the ksuba is present, that's fine. I mean, nowadays that doesn't really happen. So nowadays we say you always have to have your ksuba. We saw that in the Rambam.
The person who buys is buying an option.
Essentially. We saw this last week in source 9. Akozi vesa isha v'lo kasav laksuba, osha kasav avad shtar ksuba, osha mach laksubasa labayla, osha machra lo ksubasa, if she sells the ksuba to her husband, chozer v'kosev la, he has to write her a new one. Right? But if you look, two lines from the bottom in source 9, second word, avala mocheres ksubasa la acherim, betovas ana, ino tzorech lito laksuba acheres. That's what it means, betovas ana. He's giving her something for that option. Fine. And we saw that the Rambam, in a number of other places, seems to indicate that ksuba is mida oraisa as well. He never explicates that. He never says ksuba is mida oraisa. But we do have a number of other indications that ksuba is mida oraisa. Source 11. So if she sells it to her husband, he has to write her a new one. Because then, Arthur, then he wouldn't have to pay anything in the event of a divorce.
But he already paid it.
No. He didn't pay the full ksuba. First of all, even if he already paid it, that doesn't help us. What we want is a deterrent to divorce. Now he no longer has any deterrent. So they get into a small fight and he's going to be like, forget this, I'm out. That's what we don't want. We want some stability to their marriage.
She sells it to him for 200.
What?
She sells it to him for 200. Then she
gets even still, Stan, even still. Yeah, that's what you have to write a new one.
So it's
a new one for 200?
Yeah.
So
not smart on the bottle's part to purchase it from her.
So
he doesn't gain anything. I mean.
Yeah, but if she sells to someone else, she still ends up whole.
No. If she sells it to someone else,
there's always somebody collecting 200.
Basically, what we need is that in the event of divorce, he needs to be shelling out 200. That's what we need. If she sells it to someone else, then he's shelling out 200 in the event of divorce. It's granted, it's not going to her, but it's going to someone.
It's going to him. He's someone.
No. If she sells it to him, then
he's not shelling out $200. He's taking it out of his right pocket and putting it into his left pocket. What kind of joke is that? No, he's not.
He's paying it now.
Paying yourself, Arthur, is not paying. That's, again, we want a deterrent to divorce. So is making him take it out of his right pocket and put it in his left pocket a deterrent? No, of course not. The deterrent is having to actually pay. He has to come out with a net loss.
But he's already come out with the 200.
But now he has no deterrent to divorce at this point. That's the idea. We need that present deterrent. And we'll talk about whether it's really just a technical deterrent that's like, he doesn't want to get divorced because he doesn't want to lose money, or with the Chachamim striving to create something larger in terms of the sanctity of their marriage, right? So look at source 11, Koteret Lechachos Ishos. Like I said last week, the Rambam writes the Yad HaChazakah, the Yad HaChazakah. It's in my Sephardi, my Persian students in Great Neck. I'm getting me to say everything with the Havara Sephardi. They're beating me into submission. But you have the Koteret to Hilchos Ishos in source 11. Basically what you have is the Rambam writes the Mishnah Torah, 14 books that organize all of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Each of those 14 books is organized into different sets of halachot, what you could call, I guess, sections, right? And sometimes in a book you have sections and chapters. So the Rambam has sections and chapters. The sections are sets of halachos. Each set of halachos is divided into prakim. Prakim are chapters. And at the beginning of each section, the Rambam gives you a koteret, where he tells you what mitzvos appear in that section. The overwhelming majority of times, the Rambam only counts mitzvos de oraisa. The one prominent exception that I know of, at least, is Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah, where he says there are two mitzvos midivrei sofrim. He says hadlakos neros Chanukah and kriyas Megillah. He does not mention Matanos Avyonim or Mishloach Manos or Sudas Purim. He only mentions those two. But in general, it's only midoraisa. And look at what he says at the underline in source 11. Lisa Isha, b'ksuba v'kidushin. The mitzvah is to marry a woman using what? A ksuba and kidushin. Kidushin is certainly a deoraisa institution. It's mentioned in the Torah. But how can the Rambam tell you that the way to perform the mitzvah deoraisa of getting married, which according to some is not even a mitzvah in and of itself, it's really just a preparatory phase to a period of rivia, to having children. But according to the Rambam, it is a mitzvah. But how can he throw into that mitzvah what? Ksuba. How can you tell me that ksuba, which is a rabbinic institution, which you yourself told me is a rabbinic institution multiple times, is part of the biblical obligation to get married? So what, before the Rabbanon instituted a ksuba, you weren't able to fulfill this mitzvah? Yeah. What does that mean?
I'm trying to think from this. There is a deraisa for ksuba. The money is what they take, the amount of money that they are, that's the takana. 200 for for a virgin and an almana.
But again, the Rambam told you that. I think your direction is good, and I told you that's very similar to Tosfos, and I think your intuition to go in that direction is good. That doesn't explain the Rambam. The Rambam said many times that ksuba itself is midi rabbanan, and he paskened all the nafkaminas of ksuba midi rabbanan. As it happens, Morty.
But it's only about the money.
As it happens, Morty. No. As it happens, Tosfos say that for the man de amar ksuba de oraisa, because even if you hold ksuba de oraisa, the amount is definitely not specified in the Torah, right? Almost definitely, unless it's parallel to onesu mufuta. But that Tosfos say that for the man de amar ksuba de oraisa. The Rambam is passing ksuba de rabbanan. The Rambam is passing ksuba de rabbanan, and all the nafkaminas of ksuba de rabbanan. If we were saying what you were saying, Morty, we wouldn't have paskined all of those issues like the man de amar ksuba de rabbanan. Those issues weren't about the amount. Those issues were about the method of payment of the ksuba.
So sometimes he says it ksuba, and sometimes he's talking about the money.
Ksuba in general?
Ksuba in general.
When we have stam ksuba, we're talking about ikar ksuba. The Rambam would not tell you that you need to have tosefes ksuba in order to fulfill the mitzvah of getting married. It's an astute point, but I think in this particular circumstance, it's immaterial. Because it's very clear that the Rambam would not require... Tosefes ksuba is an option. You don't have to give the woman an additional amount.
I was going along with Morty, just saying that maybe there's a difference. That's the difference. When you're talking about the Ikar ksuba, which is the 200, versus
the Tosefos Ktubos D'oraisa?
Not the Tosefos that you have to.
The concept. Let's kind of look at what he's saying. Yeah. Again, I think that direction is good, and I think that's true for Tosfos, and I think for the Rambam, we have to take it a little bit further and rephrase it a little bit. But I just don't think that approach would account for all the evidence in the Rambam. Look at 11 Beis, the next mitzvah in the Kotaret of Hilchos Ishos. Shelo Tivol Isha, Belo Ksuba V'Kiddushin. But just like there's a mitzvah to get married, the Rambam says there's an Isur of Lo Yeh Kadesh B'Bnei Yisrael, Lo Yeh Kadesh B'Bnei Yisrael, Lo Yeh Kadesh B'Bnei Yisrael. The prohibition of, well, it's a big machlokas, yeah, prostitution in the strict sense. That's why some Rishonim hold it's only prostitution. But the Rambam's shita on that mitzvah is also a little bit complicated. But for simplicity's sake, for now, the Rambam, and this is certainly the way Rosenzweig views the Rambam's position, but the Rambam's position is a little bit complicated. The Rambam views any extramarital sexual relationships as part of the Isser Kadesh V'Kadesha. And how does he formulate that? Shelo Tivol Isha Belo Ksuba V'Kiddushin. Again, without a Ksuba, but again, the Rambam told me Ksuba is Midera Banan, so how can you tell me that if you don't have a Ksuba, then there's a biblical De'oraisa Isser of Kadesha. Look at source 12 again. The Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. The HaMitzvah HaShin Nun Hei Hisha His Hiranu Shelo Lavo Al Isha Belo Ksuba Uvelo Kiddushin. Right? Consistently to what he says in the Kotaret Hilchos Ishos, the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos, where he counts all 613 mitzvos. As we know, there are lots of different svarim that count the 613 mitzvos, because if you counted all the mitzvos in the Torah, you'd have a lot more than 613. So the question is, which ones are really different parts of a single mitzvah? How do you categorize? That's a big machlokas among the Rishonim. So the Rambam, I only quoted for you the Losa Asay of Shin Nun Hei. The Rambam says the Losa Asay is to love al Isha, to have that kind of relationship, below Ksuba uvelo Kiddushin, without Ksuba v'Kiddushin. Look what the Ramban, who wrote a commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. He starts, let's take it from the top. Kazav Rav HaMitzvah Shlosh Meas V'Chamish V'Chamish and Nimnu Umi Livo below Ksuba v'Kiddushin Hu Amro Yis'ala or Yisbarach Lo Yisiyye Kadesha Mibinos Yisrael Sh'ar Devei Harab. Fine, share the way around, fine. Bineza halav al koponin lav shebiminyinu. The Ramban sometimes says, the Rambam counted something, I don't really think this is one of the 613, it's really a subcategory of another mitzvah. Here he says, I agree with the Rambam, this is indeed one of the 613 mitzvahs, however he qualifies. Look at the underline. Aval dvaro b'ksuba v'kiddushin eino emes. But when the Rambam said ksuba and kiddushin, that's just not accurate. Shehaksuba eina min ha-Torah klal. Because ksuba is not midoraisa. The Ramban holds ksuba midorabanan. He says, the Rambam also holds ksuba midorabanan. Why is he throwing it in here? V'kiddushin mitzvah v'kinu isha. The kiddushin is the key element, says the Ramban. So basically what we have is this problem whereby in a number of cases the Rambam explicates that ksuba is midorabanan, and yet in a whole host of other cases he strongly implies or almost clearly indicates it's without saying it out explicitly, it's as close as you can get to saying that ksuba is midoraisa. How do we deal with that? So in truth, before we answer for the Rambam, there are actually a number of other contexts where ksuba is thrown in a surprising way, even for the Manda Amar ksuba midoraisa. So let's go look at source number 5, or section number 5, on page 5. Source 16. Page 5, section 5, source 16. The Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph asks the following question. My noshim umay pilagshin. What is the difference between a full wife and a pilagesh? Pilagesh is this like secondary wife. We know that the Avos had pilagshim. David HaMelech had pilagshim. Machlokas Rishonim as to whether, according to the Rambam, only a melech is allowed to have pilagshim. It was nothing to do with Chayim Rebbeinu Gershom. The Rambam holds that second, multiple wives was banned by the Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom. No, you can only have one wife.
If a Pilagish was banned by the Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom.
According to the Rambam, only a Melech can have a Pilagish Medina De'oraisa.
Oh, yeah.
The biblical concept of Pilagish only exists by, at least post-Matan Torah, by a Melech. Okay. The Rav disagrees. Fine, whatever. And that's part of the broader Pilagish sugya. There are other debates between.
Was by a melech. there was a Pelegish by the we see it.
It's interesting.
I mean,
it's an interesting
she
point.
She was cut up into middling pieces, but
no, it's not. I'm not saying it's a happy story, but
there was a guy with a Pelegish.
That's a good point.
Who was not a Melech.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that. Maybe the Rambam would only say after the institution of Malchus started.
Mm.
The institution of Malchus hadn't started at that story,
okay.
Right?
That's
I don't know. It's an interesting point. I never really thought about it. But there are other debates between the Rambam and the Ravid about Pelegash. They kind of all relate to one broader theme. But anyway, my Nashim, my Pelegash. What is the difference between a wife and a Pelegash? Amar v'Yudam Arab, Nashim b'ksuba uvikidushin. Again, we have that phrase, ksuba v'kidushin. Pelegashim b'loksuba uvilokidushin. That's the difference between them. What? Those are the difference, ksuba and kidushin. Now, does Rav Yehuda Marav hold that ksuba is midoraisa or ksuba is midorabana? He holds it's derabanan? Just from reading this Gemara, if he's saying that that is the difference between Isha and Pelegash, I would have said that it's derabanan. But, as we would expect, what is the Rambam in source 17, okay? V'chein lokeach mikol gvul Yisrael. V'chein is referring to the melech. These are the special things that only a king can do. V'chein lokeach mikol gvul Yisrael nashim u'pilagshim. He can take from wherever he wants wives and pilagshim. Nashim b'ksubu v'kidushin u'pilagshim b'lo ksubu v'lo kidushin. The Rambam once again quotes this Gemara. This is another one of the indications that the Rambam seems to upgrade ksuba into a d'oraisa concept. That Noshim have ksuba and kiddushin. The difference between an isha and a pilegesh is that a wife has ksuba v'kiddushin. The pilegesh does not have ksuba v'kiddushin. Now, even yud. Let's yud is designation. That's if you look at Rav Soloveitchik's approach to how the Rambam understands pilegesh. That word yud is actually very key. But that's a totally different topic. So, even if you hold ksuba's d'oraisa, right? It's interesting that when the Gemara wants to typify what the difference is between one's wife and a Pelegash, it doesn't just mention Kiddushin. Kiddushin is the major process by which you create a Jewish marriage. It also throws in what? Ksuba. Even if Ksuba is Deoraisa, that's noteworthy. That Ksuba is part of the integral designation or differentiation between a person's wife and a Pelegash. Source 18, Bereshis Perek Chafei Pasuk Vav. Okay? So, Abraham, later in life, has this Pelegash named Keturah, who Chazal identify as the original Hagar, and he has children, and Abraham gives them all presents. Okay?
Why is it in plural? It's
another question I didn't think of. You're just,
just
rocking all the great questions.
What's your
I don't know. It's a good point. I don't know. Never thought about that. Look at what Rashi says. Source 19, HaPilagshim. Nashim b'ksuba. Pilagshim b'lo ksuba. What does Rashi do? Kedamrinam b'sanhedrin. What did the Gemara say is the difference between Nashim?
He drops Kiddushin.
Rashi is going as far as to say that the only difference between an Isha and a Pilagesh is what?
Ksuba.
Now again, even if Ksuba is the Ramban... Kedarko, the Ramban is always the defender of Ksuba Midrabanan. Look in source 20. But Rashi Kosam Noshim Biksuba Pilakshim Shalom Biksuba. Rashi Kid Amar Binoshim Pilakshim David Mesanhedrin. Rashi quotes the Gemara Sanhedrin Dafkaf Aleph Amid Aleph. At the end of the first line, V'ena Davar Kane. No, Rashi got it wrong here. Kilotikra Pilagesh Elakashahiba Loki Dushin. Kiaksuba Midivre Sofrim. The Ramban says, what's the key? What's the key distinguishing factor between a Pelegesh and an Isha? You focus on the wrong part, Rashi. It's not the Ksuba. What's the key?
Kiddushin.
It's the Kiddushin. Kiddushin is the primary, I mean, plus Nisuin, as we know. But Kiddushin is certainly the primary stage, or at least the initial stage, of creating a Jewish marriage. Don't focus on the Ksuba. Ksuba is Midrabanan. Now, let's say Rashi disagrees with the Ramban, which he probably does not. But let's say Rashi disagrees with the Ramban and holds Ksuba Midoraisa. Even still, you're dropping Kiddushin in favor of Ksuba.
Well, if it's on the same plateau, Kiddushin and Ksuba.
Even still, why drop Kiddushin? You're using Ksuba. Ksuba is the key distinguishing factor, not Kiddushin. And it's not on the same. And it's not on the same plane as Kiddushin.
The Ksuba is so that you don't get rid of her. It's not counting.
So that.
So it's just
that doesn't.
That he's trying to pinpoint. It's saying that.
I don't know if that
in between you.
I don't know if that in and of itself answers it. You're still dealing with Ksuba.
Well,
What if he gives the Pelegesh a Ketubah also?
Then she would no longer be a Pelegesh.
She'd be a wife.
Again, according to Rashi. According to Rashi, right. According to Rashi, that is what defines a Pelegesh. Here, source 21. Chiyavate ish besula asher lo orasa v'shachav ima mahor yimharen alo le'isha. Guy seduces a young woman who is not married, and he sleeps with her. Mahor yimharena lo le'isha. We have this very strange language of mahor yimharena, mohar habesulos. It's clearly some monetary amount that he's paying her. Okay? Rashi, source 22. Mahor yimharena yifsok la mohar kemishbat ish le'ishto. He gives her the mohar habesula, the amount that you give to a besula. Shakosev laksuba b'yisayana. What does it mean that he gives her that amount? He writes her a ksuba, and he marries her. He writes her a ksuba. Ramban. Again, Ramban is consistent throughout. Ksubas mi derabanan. Shemefata emisa ena eno nosen knas. Yemigarshena achar anisuin ein la alav klum min haTorah shehaksuba mi divrei sofrimu. Ramban is insistent on consistently applying that ksuba is mi derabanan. The Ramban consistently holds that ksuba is mi derabanan. He consistently challenges Rashi and the Rambam whenever they imply that it's mi deraisa.
Well,
but again,
we're learning that the
even
is more and Rashi's learning that is the way we learn ksuba.
That's right. So that's why I told you that according to most, the shir is not mi deraisa. The only possible exception might be Rashi, who would say that the shir is based on
more.
Yeah, but I don't know. That gets into complications also because Let me look back. I don't remember if Rashi ever explicates that, but
because
according to most, the amount is not...
200 should not make a difference where she was raped or slept with. So it should be 200 shkalim as opposed to 200 kapukai or medallers, or it should be a set amount. So you're learning a number of 200 from the basulos, which does not change no matter where you have a relation with her.
No, correct. That's again. That's the point. That, again, you keep coming back to that point. Tozos make that point.
I know,
make that point.
If you're learning from
right, so I don't know if Mohar. If you're learning from Mohar Yimharena
Lelisha, that number never changes.
Right. So I don't know. Again, so I don't think Rashi ever explicates that. That he does think that Mohar is the source for Ksuba Mida Araisa, but I don't think he ever explicates that it's the sheer of Shkalim. You can't. Again, like you said. Again, this is Tozos' point. That Mishnah in Ksubas Daf Kuf Yud talks about what currency you use. It never says Shekel HaKodesh.
But what do you pay a Mefata?
That there, the shear is defined in biblical Shkalim, whatever the amount that is,
right.
What we generally call like Zehuvim or this higher currency, right? That's what you use.
That's where you're learning.
But,
I'm just finding that's where they're learning from.
Enachanami.
But that number never ever changed.
Okay. We'll get to the numbers. I told you. I promise we'll get to the numbers. We'll get there at a certain point. Source 28, source 29, source 30. All of those relate to the numbers. We're not going there yet. I'm just promising Morty that eventually we'll get to those sources. So even if Ksuba is Midoraisa, why is Ksuba being, for Rashi, the integral difference, even more so than Kiddushin, for the distinguishing factor between Pilagesh and Isha? So I want for a moment to take a look at, again, let's revisit for a moment what the reason for Ksuba is. What is this concept of Ksuba? What is it all about? What is its purpose? So let's take a look at source 24 again. So Ksuba staf Yudam and Aleph. What? 24. Source 24, page 6. Tana. Hoel uknas chachamim hu. Since ksuba is a knas chachamim, what is a knas?
A penalty.
Lo tigve ella min haziboris. She only collects from the ziboris, right? Knasa, well, that's what we said. Whenever there's a rabbinic obligation, it's from ziboris. Knasa, my knasa. The Gemara asks, why is it a knas? Ella ema hoel utakonas chachamim hu. Lo tigve ella min haziboris. Since it is a takanas chachamim, okay, you only collect from the ziboris. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel omer ksubas isha min haTorah. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says it's mi deoraisa.
So I guess the Rambam doesn't know.
One second, I'm missing the key line that I wanted. Oh no, did I leave that off of the source sheet? We'll take Albain of Laodicea. That's exactly the line I was looking for. No. The Gemara. All right, we'll just quote that out. Oh, so sorry. I can't start flipping through it now. We don't have so much time left. The Gemara says in a number of places, as we said, that the purpose of Ksuba is lo tehei kala be'einav lehotzia, which means what?
It shouldn't be easy in his eyes.
It shouldn't be easy for him to divorce her. Did I not quote that line?
Put it on there.
We did see it somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so upset at myself. Yeah.
So wouldn't that support the theory of Kenas?
Oh, exactly. So let's slow down for a second. Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that question. The idea for Ksuba is Shelo Tehikala Be'inav Lehotzia. That's a Gemara in Ksubas. I think it's at the very beginning of Ksubas on Daf Beis, on Daf Gimel. It appears in a number of places. The whole purpose is that it shouldn't be easy to just divorce her. Now asks Ben, doesn't that seem like it is a knas? That's exactly what a knas is. You're instituting a penalty to deter someone from doing something. That sounds like a paradigmatic knas. What is the Gemara talking about when it switches from knasa and it objects to this term knasa and turns it into a takana? It seems like you're nitpicking, first of all, in terms of like knas or takana. And second of all, if indeed ksuba is all about shelo tehei kala be'einav lehotzia, it does indeed seem like a knas. What is this issue of takanas hachamim? So perhaps, Shelo tehei kala be'einav lehotzia needs to be reframed. As I said before, is Shelo tehei kala be'einav lehotzia really just a technical concern that he's going to divorce her? And that, we make a deterrent so that in case he gets angry one night and he doesn't know what to do and he's going to divorce her, he'll think twice before doing so? Is that really all Shelo tehei kala be'einav lehotzia is? That's one way of learning Shelo tehei kala be'einav lehotzia. The alternative is that Shelo tehei kala be'einav lehotzia is not about that technical concern in the event that that situation arises, what will we do, create a deterrent for him. Perhaps Shelo tehei kala be'einav lehotzia is speaking to a broader ethic and a broader mentality that Chazal are trying to institute in the marriage. The point is that Chazal are saying that a marriage should be one where there is stability, there's consistency, it's not done on a whim, it's not removed on a whim. It's something that is ensured and instilled with a certain stability and security and commitment between two partners. Mashalama Adavar Doma. I spoke last week about the Yerushalmi that speaks about divorce, right? And it presents one daya, presents two dayas about divorce for Bnei Noach. One option is that they can never get divorced. The Catholic doctrine, the Yerushalmi says, is one option. It doesn't say Catholic doctrine. The Yerushalmi is written well before Catholicism started. The alternative, one option is that there's no divorce whatsoever. The alternative is that, no, there's marriage, but he just throws her out, or she just leaves, whichever one. They could just dissolve it on a whim. She leaves the home, he says, I'm done with you, he leaves, she leaves, it's over.
Like a BLA.
Any formality whatsoever. And then the Yerushalmi says, Lo yicheid HaKadosh Baruch Hu begerushin ela b'Yisrael. There's like a special status to gerushin, to divorce. It's a very strange language. God declares the oneness of his name through divorce of Jews. What's the point? When the Rambam quotes the mitzvah of gerushin, there's a mitzvah of gerushin. So some say when your marriage is really bad, you should get divorced. Others say no. Certain mitzvahs don't mean it's imperative to do it. It's that the halachos are a mitzvah in and of themselves. The Rambam says, "Sheyigareish hamigareish b'ksav." For the Rambam, the key to the mitzvah of gerushin is this get, this formal process. What's the point? The point is that Jewish marriage is not a contractual obligation you can never get out of, like that first option in the Yerushalmi about divorce of Bnei Noach. And it's not something that you can leave on a whim either. You can't just pick up and go. It's something that is a serious commitment between two individuals that's intended to remain a serious commitment. And there's supposed to be a structure of stability, of security, of commitment between man and wife. Now, how does that relate to the Rambam? Turn back to section 4.
Section 4.
4, page 5. In general, we have two categories of mitzvos. There are mitzvos to oraisa, and there are mitzvos to rabbanon. But as it happens, and we've spoken about this a couple of times, there is a third middle category as well. Take a look at source 14. Mitzvahs asei shal divreihem levaker cholin. It is a mitzvah derabbanan to do what? To visit the sick. Ulunachem avelim, to comfort mourners. Ulahotzi ameis, to take out the deceased. Ulahachnes akala, to do hachnas askala, to celebrate with a bride. Belilvos haorchim, to accompany your guests, to walk with them. Ulahis asek b'chol tzarchi akvura. It's interesting, a lot of these examples, as we'll see, pertain specifically to the burial process, which is interesting. To involve yourself with the needs of burial, the Chevra Kadisha's work. Loses ala kosef, to carry the coffin, v'leilech lefana, v'lisbod, v'lachbor, v'likvor, to walk in front of the coffin, to deliver divrei hesped, to eulogize, to bury, to dig the grave and to bury, v'chein l'sameach hakala v'hachasan, to bring joy to a bride and groom, l'sa'adam v'chol tzarcheihem, to create a festive meal for them. Ve'eluhim gemilas chasadim shebeguvo she'in lahem shiur. As we say every morning, Eluhim dvarim she'in lahem shiur. Gemilas chasadim is one of the things that we say has no limit. You can do as much. There's no defined limit. Do as much as you can. When it comes to acts of kindness, the Torah says do as much as you can. And the Rambam says these are all mitzvos midivrei sofrim or midivreihem, which means they are midirabbanon.
Even Torah's in that one also.
He's talking about Gemilas Chasadim here. He doesn't say everything on the list is Midrabanan. He says that these are Midrabanan. Now, look at what he says next in the underline. Af al pisha kol mitzvos elu midivrayim. Even though all of these mitzvos are Midrabanan, harehin bechlal v'yohavta l'reacha kamocha. There is this broad de'oraisa principle, this broad de'oraisa mitzvah that tells you what? That tells you, as the Rambam says next, Kol hadvarim she'ata rotze she'ya'asu osam l'cha achirim, asei ata osam l'achicha b'torah u'v'mitzvos. Anything you want other people to do for yourself, you are obligated to do for others. That is called v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. Is that a mitzvah de'oraisa? That is certainly a mitzvah de'oraisa. And it is a broad guiding principle. Now, the particulars of bikur cholin. Does it say anywhere in the Torah that you're chayev vayidaber Hashem el Moshe or vayidaber Moshe al b'nei Yisrael tivaker kol chole be'achicha, tivaker achicha kishu chole or whatever? There's no pasuk in the Torah that says visit the sick. There's no pasuk in the Torah that says comfort the mourners. Those are the prat, the particular mitzvah is what? Is rabbinic in nature. But what does it fall under in terms of a broader mitzvah to oraisa? It all falls under the umbrella of v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. Another very famous example is source 15. The Ramban in Vayikra, Perek of Gimel, Pasuk of Dalet. The Torah says that the seventh day should be Yihye Lachem Shabbaton. Let's take it from the top and then we're going to skip. Sheyihye Yom Shvisa Lanuachba. The Ramban says that the seventh day should be a day of rest, lanuach. Lanuach is not just rest; it's a day of like tranquility, a day of tranquil rest. But Amru Rabbeinu Shabbaton Asehu. This mitzvah of Shabbaton is what a positive commandment. The mitzvah Aseh. V'hinei ha'osa milacha b'yom tov over b'lav va'aseh. If you do any of the prohibited categories of productive labor, you violate both alosa aseh and an aseh as well. V'ashoves bo mekayim aseh. If you rest, you're mekayim an aseh. Let's just go to the underline. The Medrash says, why does it say Ushmar Temes Hayom Hazeh? Okay? You already told me not to do any productive labor. Why do you need to add a mitzvah saseh? You already have a mitzvah losa saseh. Says the Ramban. Ainli dvar ela dvarim shehin mishum melacha. Dvarim shehin mishum shvus minayin. What is a shvus on Shabbos? A shvus is a rabbinic prohibition on Shabbos. Dvarim she'in shvus minayin, tamalom or shvartemus l'yom hazeh l'havi dvarim she'in mishum shvus. What do you mean? Shvus is rabbinic in nature. How are you telling me that there is a mitzvah de'oraisa that includes all the derabbanans? The Ramban goes on to explain, venerally, I don't know if we're going to go through the whole thing. Shamedesh hazeh l'omer shen stavinu min ha-Torah li'os lanu menucha b'yom tov afilu midvarim she'in ha-melacha. What is the mitzvah asay of Shabbos? To have a day of rest. To disconnect, to let go for a day. The Ramban goes on to explain, look, We have all sorts of Talmidei Chachamim who will come up with all different ways to get around the official categories of Malacha. You'll come up with a kosher switch, you'll come up with all sorts of different things, and what will you do? You'll eventually, the Ramban says, and the shuk will be filled, it will be just like a regular market day, you'll just, okay, instead of writing something down, you'll use the invisible ink with a shinoi, and you'll come up with all sorts of different ways to circumvent the Malachas. The Ramban says, okay, fine, you haven't violated any Malachas, you haven't violated the Los Asay of Shabbos, but it's not just the spirit of the day. We believe in a general spirit of the halacha. For the Ramban, the spirit of Shabbos, the spirit of the law, is actually included in the letter of the law. Not in the losa asay, but in the asay. The asay of Shabbos is, just like you have an asay to put on tefillin on the weekdays, you have an asay on Shabbos to ensure that the spirit and atmosphere of Shabbos is one of menucha. And says the Ramban, violating rabbinic isurim on Shabbos, rabbinic isurim, right? The Rabbanan tell you not to, let's say, using electricity, which according to most poskim, aside from Chazon Ish, is midrabbanan. According to the Ramban, if you use electrical devices on Shabbos, it's true you've only violated a rabbinic losa asay, but you haven't fulfilled the asay de oraisa of Shabbos. This is called a mitzvah de Rabbanan with what?
We're coming.
A mitzvah de Rabbanan with a kiyum de oraisa. It's a rabbinic mitzvah. But there's a broader framework. There's something broader than it accomplishes. And that is the mitzvah d'oraisa. Rav Rosenzweig suggests that perhaps that explains the position of the Rambam on Ksuba. The Rambam says many, many times that Ksuba is midrabbanan. And he paskins that Ksuba is midrabbanan. Let's just turn back to source 2 in terms of the particular nafkaminas. He says a whole host of places that Ksuba is midrabbanan. Because the Rambam holds that indeed, the institution of Ksuba, this particular document, this particular monetary obligation, who instituted it? The Chachamim. The Chachamim were the ones who instituted this obligation, as the Rambam says many times. But, what is the purpose of Ksuba? The purpose of Ksuba is to achieve a certain stability and framework for an Ishus, a certain level of commitment for an Ishus. And that broader kiyum of Shalotehe Kalab Einav Lehotzia, that broader principle that Ksuba intends to fulfill, that is at the very heart of what Jewish marriage is supposed to be. That is de'oraisa. That is what distinguishes a pilegesh from an isha. That is the mitzvah of Jewish marriage. Lisa isha b'ksuba b'kidushin. That is the isra of kedesha. To just have a haphazard sexual relationship outside of that framework of commitment that defines the kedusha, that defines the holiness of a Jewish marriage. When it comes to all the particulars of ksuba, which currency do you use? The Pesach Basuot Matzasi, from what does she collect? The particular issues pertaining to the strict monetary obligation. For all of those, the Rambam paskins, that Ksuba is Midrabbanan. Because after all, the document itself, the monetary obligation, is Midrabbanan. When it comes to detracting from the Make Ksuba, when it comes to that Oseh, when it comes to turning that relationship into a Be'ilas Znus, like Rabbi Meir phrased it, for that, the Rambam holds that Ksuba is Midaraisa. That's no longer just about the particular monetary obligation. It's about undermining the nature of the ksuba. Yeah, I think it explains Rashi as well. I think it explains a number of other things. We have do we have a couple of minutes? We have a minute and a half. So yeah, Rashi as well. When Rashi says that ksuba is what distinguishes Pilegesh and Isha, is that to the exclusion of Kiddushin? No. For Rashi, ksuba, it's not about the document itself. The ksuba is a stand-in for the broader relationship and the broader commitment of that relationship. That is a kiyum de oraisa. As we'll explore next week, we'll explore Morty's Tosfos, we'll explore other issues in the Rambam on ksuba. I think this explains a number of other things as well. Just one thing that I'll throw out, we'll explore it more in depth next week. Reading a ksuba between Kiddushin and Nisuin. It's based on Tosfos. Tosfos say that there's a minhag, right? We all read the ksuba at every wedding. Excuse me. Tosfos say, chobed with kriyas haksuba, so-and-so. It's always a pulpit rabbi who gets kriyas haksuba, right? So they're good at reading in public. So they give them kriyas haksuba. So why do we do it? So Tosa say it's just to create a hefsek between the kiddushin and the nisuin. That's because they used to do kiddushin the first stage a year before the nisuin. They were a year apart. Now we do them together. In order to create some separation, we read the ksuba. But as we will see in much greater depth, if you take this approach, well, what is a ksuba? Ksuba is like, oh, if you die or divorce, this is what you're going to do. It's not the most romantic document to be reading under a chuppah. If you take it as the expression of the commitment and the seriousness of the kedusha of the man and the woman, then it's the most appropriate practice to be read under a ksuba. And as we'll see, that can explain certain halachic issues when it comes to this issue of Kriyas Aksuba with Rabbeinu Meshulam and other things like that. But the basic idea is that even though the document is Darabanan, it reflects a broader ethic of what Jewish marriage is supposed to be like. For the Rambam, that broader ethic is the Oraisa, even if Ksuba is Midarabanan. And Rezo Hashem will see a whole host of other issues that this can help explain.
We're coming. We're
next
week. How many we have left?